This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Hey, Coy, we're doing great today. How are you doing?
Very good. Thanks for joining us. So, how bad is this going to get?
It's going to get extremely challenging, I think, over the next 10 or 15 years. And one of the things, Coy, that I think is just so often overlooked, and it bugs me to no end, is that everybody, you can name it from Wall Street to the media on down, and a lot of times the politicians in particular, look at things in kind of micro fashion. I use the illustration all the time. They're looking at the tree. They're looking at the bark on the tree. They're looking at what type of beetle is on the tree. At the same time, there's this giant forest fire just coming right at them over the hill. They basically don't see the big picture macroeconomically, which drives me crazy. If you look at what has happened, we had the largest spending group in the history of the planet, the baby boomers in the United States, 76 million people born between 1946 and 1964. It came into the economy. They started buying houses. They started buying clothes and cars, taking their kids to McDonald's, moving up the scale, buying bigger houses and move up scale, all that kind of stuff. And we progress right through. It's called, one demographer says, basically kind of like a pig in a python, you know, as the bulge of boomers moves all the way through society, starting with shortages of diaper food and baby food and diapers back in the 1950s and early 60s. Basically, the boomers have moved and moved everything in the economy through this whole period of time.
Yeah.
So what is interesting now is we've had a mega boom and a mega top for housing. Of course, Wall Street, in its inimitable form, will always seem to grab onto what is the hottest at the time and then leverage it out the wazoo. A lot of the investment banks were leveraged 35-1 at the top of the market on subprime houses. But just common sense, just using a little bit of common sense and seeing the big picture again, we know from demographic studies exactly when people were born. We know when they tend to peak in spending for various items. We also know that the boomers peaked in 1961. The number, if you adjust it for immigration, there were more people born in 1961 during the baby boomer administration or time period rather than any other time in history. We also know the average person peaks in spending for housing at age 44. That's the median for all families out there. If you simply add 1961, the top of the boomer curve, and 44, which is average top for housing spending per family, you would project a mega top for the housing market in 2005. And it peaked in the first quarter of 2006. So, I mean, how accurate is that? That's why we use the term demographics are destiny, because we know exactly how many people were born every year. We don't know who the president might be in the next term or the Fed chairman or any of those kind of variables. They're all unknowns. But we know exactly how many people were born in each year. We know how they spend their money. And that, of course, gives us incredible insight into what's going to happen in the economy. And so in answer to your question, we've had a historic boom. We're in the middle of a historic bust, and I don't believe that it's over.
We're talking with financial planner, author, speaker Jerry Tuma, host of Smart Money. The new book is From Boom to Bust and Beyond. So as the boomers
now, Jerry, as they age and spend less, we're seeing that money being pulled out of the economy. Is that how it works?
Yes, so they're increasing their savings, they're paying their debts off. Everybody went through sort of a spending binge back in the last 5-10 years. You know, Hummers and flat screen TVs and granite countertops in the houses and all this kind of stuff. And they got kind of saturated in that. Now you've got the whole group of boomers, almost all, 85-90% of the baby boomers have passed their peak in spending for basically all items. The only thing that tends to go up as people age is expenses on things like roof repair, which peaks at age 70, and prescription drugs. Most other items, when you get to the point where you're 48, 50 years old, the average person begins to think in terms of downsizing. I need a smaller house, not a bigger house now, because my kids are out of the nest. They're going to be spending less on items. They've got most of their stuff, their furniture's purchased. They got more furniture than they need if they downsize. And so there's going to be a huge impact that's negative on the consumer spending. Consumer spending is 70.6% of the economy. Business spending is another 10% of the economy. And so if you figure 80% of the economy is directly or indirectly impacted by how people spend their money, that's the big gorilla. The 800-pound proverbial gorilla is the consumer spending issue. So now you have an entire generation of people, 76 million people, that are pretty well past their peak in spending, and they're going into pre-retirement and early retirement years. You've got a much smaller group of people, the baby buster generation, which is only 41 million people that are going to be entering their peak in spending and earning years. And so there's going to be a huge translation. We call this a demographic winter, where we're having fewer and fewer people in their primary spending years for the economy. That will produce a weak economy. What we've seen is just the first leg, in my opinion, of many, many more economic difficulties to come over the next decade.
We're honored to be talking with Jerry Tuma. His new book is From Boom to Bust and Beyond, The Hidden Forces Driving Our Economy. The baby busters that you mentioned, those are the kids of the baby boomers, right? They're in college, they're in their 20s, they're just getting going, right?
Well, you've got the baby buster generation are people that were born after 64, and then the baby boomlet or echo boomers are usually the ones that people refer to, the boomers' kids.
I got you.
Their age is 14 to 27. So one of the good things about it, this is not going to last forever. A lot of people have been worried, what if we're like Japan? Are we going to be like Japan? Well, there'll be some similarities, but it'll be different simply because Japan is an older society. They're getting older and older and older. The women in society over there are having their kids later and later in life, and they are not immigrants. They don't immigrate people. They don't believe in immigration. They want to keep their culture pure, so to speak. So they're just basically getting older all the time, where the U.S. has another boom to come. So the good news for our listeners for the long run and for America's future is there is another boom out there for America. There's the baby boomer kids. Once the kids kick into spending, then that's going to propel the economy higher. You're going to have another one of those big waves to surf. The problem is there's about 10 years before they begin to really impact the economy, because most of them are in their late teens right now or just entering college. Their age is 14 to 27, but the vast majority of them are college age and under, and their spending is really not going to impact the economy in a positive way for some time.
So this obviously is a challenge. We're talking with Jerry Tuma of Smart Money. This is obviously a challenge, but there's got to be an opportunity in there as well. So tell us what we need to do individually and as a nation. What do we need to be focusing on?
Well, I believe really, Coy, I believe there are two things that are going on right now, and I really hope that your listeners can get a handle on this. And if they, I would also recommend, obviously, they get a copy of our book, then go to Amazon or they can go to our website and order From Boom to Bust and Beyond. But there's two phases to this whole thing as I see it. Phase number one is what we call the ice phase or deflation. We still have another round of mortgage problems coming. Everybody knows about the subprimes and how they affected the system and how Wall Street sliced them and diced them and leveraged them 35 to 1 and things like that and nearly blew the whole world up in 2008 and early 2009. What most people are not aware of is the fact that there are two other versions of bad mortgages that are toxic that are in the system right now. Those are called Alt-A's and Option ARMs. The Alt-A's and the Option ARMs are set to reset at the beginning. Really, most of that occurs starting in the fall of this year and all the way through 2011. Those are also called, euphemistically, liar's loans. The Alt-A's basically had to have no documentation of income, no documentation of assets. If you can breathe and you can fog this mirror, then you get a loan. Most of them were in California. But the bottom line is they're resetting at a historic rate, and they're defaulting at the same exact ratio that the subprimes were defaulting at. They're just about almost 2 years behind in terms of the historical, in terms of how long, you know, the historical or chronological sequence to them. The option ARMs are also the same way. The option ARMs are basically where you could get a 2% teaser rate the first year, but there's no free lunch. What was happening was you were taking that loan really cost 6%. You were only paying 2%, but the other 4% was getting tacked onto the end of your mortgage, called a negative amortization mortgage, so the mortgage balance actually goes up. Well, again, California, Florida, these are the epicenters of the whole crisis, Nevada, Arizona. If their mortgage has gone up in the amount of money they owe on the house has gone up and the value has crashed by 50% in a lot of these places, how many of these people really do you think are going to stay in those mortgages? Assume they can afford them, because when those things reset, most of them reset after 5 years, the average increase in payment for an option ARM is a mere 63% increase in the monthly payment. I just don't think a whole lot of people are going to keep those loans. If you combine the Alt-A's and option ARMs together, they're roughly double the size of the subprime. So I think there's another major shaking there. You've also got over $1 trillion worth of commercial real estate that's coming due that'll be refinanced here in the next 2 or 3 years. Most of that was put on at the top of the cycle, 2005, 6, and 7. Those will be coming due in 2010, 11, and 12. And the average property price, according to S&P, is down. The average commercial property is down about 40% in value, worse than housing. So I believe we've got two phases of this thing. First phase is what we call deflation, heavy, intense deflationary pressure where the Fed is going to have everything it can do to keep the thing from folding up like the 1930s. They've been bailing at record pace. They printed more money than anybody has in history to keep it up for the first year. I'm concerned right now that they're starting to tighten a little. They raised the discount rate today. They're talking about they're reducing liquidity. They're going to stop buying mortgages. And I don't think they're seeing the next wave, which boggles my mind, but they don't seem to be doing anything about it right now. So I think we're going to have another major shakeup and major deflationary pressure in the next 2 years. Later on down the road, if Social Security and Medicare become bigger issues, right now they're starting to run in the red. I think you've got massive inflation down the road 5-10 years out. So what to do? I know that was a long answer to your question.
No, it's okay. Go right ahead.
What to do? Basically, in the short run, the old saying for deflation is that in a deflationary environment, cash is king. Meaning the main thing you want to do, you're going to have to throw all your old buy and hold philosophies and computer models and stuff out the window. We haven't faced anything like this since the 1930s. Most asset allocation software does not include the 1930s in their data bank to pull stuff from to tell you what they think you should invest in. So the main thing in a deflationary environment, again, we haven't seen deflation since the 30s, is you've got to make sure you don't lose your shirt on the way down, because there will be incredible bargains, I believe, over the next couple of years. There are already starting to be a lot of bargains in certain areas, like some commercial real estate. It's probably too early in most of those areas right now, but I think you're going to be able to, if you can weather the storm without losing, meaning high-quality credit instruments that can't lose money, can't lose value, be safe right now is the most important thing. Then I think what you begin to do is buy inflation assets, because over time, you combine the impact that they're going to have with having to print money for Medicare and Social Security. You combine what's going on in China and India right now as they're building huge infrastructures overseas. That's going to cause asset values for commodity-type investments to go through the roof, as far as I'm concerned, my opinion. And I think we'll have runaway inflation here in the next 5 to 10 years. So phase one is the ice. Make sure you don't lose your money in the ice phase, but you better be ready for inflation a few years down the road.
Yeah, we're talking with Jerry Tuma. The new book is From Boom to Bust and Beyond. What do you say, Jerry, to most of the people who are listening who just, you know, their money goes into a 401k and, you know, not all of them can tell you where it's going when it goes into that 401k. Should they change? You know, most of these people think that this 401k money is going to be there for retirement one day.
Well, there's two issues with that. Number one, most people, I would certainly recommend that they get familiar with what's in their 401k if they're not already. If they have, a lot of this, I can't give blanket recommendations because it's prohibited by law, but let me give you a couple of clues, if you will, a couple of hints. Number one, if they've got a large amount of money and they're close to retirement, they might want to seek out some of the safer places, and they can call their 401k provider, find out what are the most secure places if I just want to hide from the next batch of storm, which I think is coming. By the way, get our book, read it, then you'll see why the storm is coming. But if there are places, most of the time there are places that you can hide that you can be pretty safe inside of a 401k. If somebody's 25 or 30 years old and they don't mind the thing going back down potentially another half, 50% or more again, if they're continuing to put money in every month, a little bit in every month, that's called a dollar cost averaging technique, then, you know, the potential exists for them to come out the other side and be okay, because they'll be buying everything at the bottom as long as they don't give up. In that case, they better tie themselves to the mast, because I think that the storm is going to get really violent and volatile. But the issue is you've got to look at different techniques of how to cope with this thing depending upon your age, your liquidity needs, and your risk tolerance.
And before we let you go, really quick, Jerry, how about as a nation, what do we need to be doing financially to weather these problems that are not gone? And if you're right, they're going to get worse.
Well, first thing we've got to do is encourage small business, because small business is the backbone of American industry. I don't see anything coming out of Washington right now that is doing that. The small businesses are scared of the economy. They're scared of cap and trade, health care, all the things that the Democrats are trying to propose. And so that kind of stuff's staring them to death. They're not hiring any new people. We've got to get the wheels of industry back going again. That's going to require help for the small businessmen. We've also got to stabilize the financial system, which they've been working toward that a lot. The small to medium-sized banks are going to be crucial in this commercial real estate shakeup that starts probably in the second half of this year.
And those banks aren't rushing to give loans to small business.
No, the loans are just contracting like nothing we've seen again, and I hate to keep repeating since the 1930s, but statistically we've never seen the kind of loan contraction, both from the people that are saying, I don't want to borrow more money because I'm scared, and the banks that are saying, I don't know if I want to loan more money because I'm concerned about what's going to happen next. We've never seen the drop-off just like Acapulco cliff diving in terms of the amount of lending that's going on has just dropped off the map in comparison to history. So what we're seeing, again, that's another indication that we're in a deflationary environment. We've got to get the wheels of, you know, of the economy going back again. In the very long run, I think we promote what we call patriotic. Actually, Newt Gingrich coined this term, or he got it from one other senator, I think, called patriotic immigration. We should be pro-immigration, but we also should make those people study our history, the things that made our nation great, what our founding fathers believed, and begin paying their share of the system, because they are able to come over here and work. They benefit from us paying taxes and the roads and the infrastructure. They need to be paying in the system just like everybody else. And in the long run, that will make everybody win, because that brings more people in. Adam Smith, the greatest of all economists, I believe, in history, said, growing populations create prosperity, shrinking populations create depression. Right now we're dealing with the aftermath of a huge bubble, but we're about to go into a period where things shrink because we have fewer and fewer people in their peak spending years, and that's something we've got to cure through those methods with immigration, adoption, encouraging people to have more kids, believe it or not, regardless of the scare over global warming, which I don't believe in, frankly. And we've got to do the right things in the long run to turn things around.
There you go. Jerry Tuma, he's the host of Smart Money and the new book, Must Reading, if you want to understand what's going on with the baby boomers and the economy and what it means to you and your family from boom to bust and beyond. Jerry Tuma. Jerry, great to meet you. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me on the program.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.